Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Discover Strength Podcast. I'm your host, Logan Emmett Herlihy. I'm an ACSM and HIIT Uni certified personal trainer. At Discover Strength, we want to be your ultimate resource for all things related to exercise. Over the next few months, we're going to be answering some of the most common questions and misconceptions we get from clients on a regular basis at Discover Strength. In order to do this, we're bringing on our own evidence-based fitness experts, the trainers. All of our trainers at Discover Strength have a minimum of a four-year degree in exercise science, and all achieve the highest levels of certifications within the field. We'll be discussing what the research says about these frequently asked questions and see how it compares to what your Instagram and fit friends might be telling you. We want this to be an evidence-based gold mine that you can share with friends, family, and anyone else when they ask you common questions about exercise, but you aren't quite sure the how or the why behind the answer. Thank you so much for joining us, and please enjoy this week's episode of the Discover Strength Podcast. Hello, everyone. Logan Emmett Herlihy joined here today on the Discover Strength Podcast with one of our most senior trainers in the company. Taylor Melvin is at our Plymouth location. Taylor is a graduate of St. Thomas University, go Tommies, as a BS in exercise science and is an iconic trainer at Discover Strength. She's been with the company 9 years and is one of our most sought after and most requested trainers in the entire company. Tay, we're so excited to have you here today. Please say hello, and we're excited to jump into this topic.
Yeah, thanks, Logan. Excited to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you back. For those of you that haven't heard Tay's recap so far, definitely check out the Doug McGuff episode. She was also part of our Sarah Oikawa episode recently. Just a brilliant lady. Both of those episodes, probably two of my favorites so far. So Tay, we're so excited to have you here to join today on this continuing mini series that we're doing for the Discover Strength Podcast, talking about big myths, misconceptions, some fallacies that we have within the fitness industry. And the two that we're going to be covering today are probably some of the most important we have, simply because they fit so well into this idea of looking and feeling your best in a fraction of the time, which is really kind of our mantra at Discover Strength, if you will. So Tay, I'm going to have you kick us off here. What's our first topic today? What are we going to be discussing with our clients here?
So we're going to be talking about why momentary muscle failure is going to be the goal and not just trying to get a specific number of repetitions for each set you're performing when resistance training.
Awesome. And I'd love to dive a little further into these reasons, but why don't we talk about big picture? What are the main reasons that we really want to drive home to our clients and our listeners today of why what we call momentary muscle failure, you may have heard muscular fatigue, going to exhaustion, whatever it is, what are the big overarching principles of why this is so important and so valuable from a client perspective?
Well, I think time is really one of the number one excuses for not exercising. And so it's valuable to try to find ways to decrease the amount of time needed to invest while still getting all the results you want from exercise. So this topic in particular is important to help people find a really efficient way to train so that they can adhere to their exercise program and get the results they're looking for.
Yeah, such a great point. Again, adherence is such a big issue in the industry. So finding a way that's going to make your exercise realistic and doable, something that you can adhere to, is so important. So a few big ideas that we're going to be talking about today is one, there's no difference, right, in what your body can recognize between doing, say, 4 reps of an exercise or even 24 reps, okay? And the literature just plays this out over and over again. There's going to be a few studies that I'm going to link to in the podcast description for this episode. But as you know, we just read recently an awesome paper by Brad Schoenfeld that was titled No Time to Lift. So what this paper was a meta-analysis looking at, you know, dozens of different studies and comparing the outcomes based on things like repetition duration, magnitude of the sets, the amount of volume that people were doing. And essentially the big takeaway is your body doesn't know the difference between doing a set of 8 repetitions or a set of 24 repetitions. As long as you get to that point of momentary muscle failure, that's going to be the important stimulus here. The next piece is muscle failure really maximizes motor unit and muscle fiber recruitment. We're going to dive into the importance of that here in just a little bit. And finally, strength training to failure increases caloric expenditure, which is one of the main things that many of our clients that come in the door are trying to accomplish, right? They want to burn more calories. They want to be able to lose body fat, improve body composition, and strength training to failure is going to be one of the best ways to do that. So Tay, let's first talk about this first point. There's no difference, right, between 5 reps or 25 reps. Why don't you talk a little bit about this reasoning and maybe use our current Project Discover study that we're doing that some of our listeners may be participating in to kind of frame this for them and drive away some misconceptions.
Right. Excuse me. So when we talk about number of repetitions, like you said, whether you're lifting a very heavy weight and achieving muscle failure with 8 reps or lifting a lightweight and achieving muscle failure by 25 reps, it is the same neuromuscular experience. So essentially what's happening physiologically is when you achieve muscle failure, you are tapping into every single muscle fiber possible to move that weight and recruiting as much motor units as you can. So muscle failure is truly a maximal stimulus, whether it was on rep 4 or rep 44. And then when you get to that point of maximal effort or muscle failure, you're getting the maximal benefits, maximal strength stimulus, maximal hypertrophy stimulus, and then of course, health benefits that you get. So that's really great news from the perspective of if you enjoy training with a lighter weight or enjoy training with a heavier weight and maybe feel more motivated by one versus the other, you can kind of choose your personal preference there and how you want to train, because you're going to create the same stimulus. And right now with our Project Discover study, we have two different groups. One is training with a lighter weight, but still achieving muscle failure. So about 15 to 20 repetitions roughly. Mm-hmm. And then the other group is training with a 4 to 6 rep goal to muscle failure. And so we're hypothesizing that both groups will achieve the same results in terms of body composition and strength, no matter what you are lifting in terms of the heavy load, as long as you achieve muscle failure or the light load.
Yeah. And a lot of our listeners are probably participating in that study right now. And I think something that's important to point out, and you touched on this, but it really comes down to, we know, and we're very, very convicted on this hypothesis, and the research has bared it out. So we're obviously have to wait to see what the actual findings are. But I think one of the important things to realize, and that I've noticed anecdotally with some clients too, is people have different preferences. They have different muscle fiber makeups, and they tend to sort of gravitate towards specific rep ranges. So, you know, I'm thinking of a few people specifically now that are slightly thinner. They're runner physiques. They tend to be a little more type 1 dominant, or those slow twitch muscle fibers that people have maybe heard referenced before. And they are just not liking the heavy loads, right? They tend to maybe just fail before they actually maybe truly reach that point of momentary failure. But some of those people in that other group, that lighter weight, heavier or higher rep range group, that are that same type 1 fiber type, they love it, right? They can go all day. That's what they were built to do, and vice versa. You know, we've got some clients at Plymouth. I'm at the Woodbury location that seem to be a little bit bulkier, right? Type 2, more fast twitch. They tend to just fatigue faster and don't really have as much in the tank. So they hate those higher rep ranges, right? And it really just comes down to, we know the results are going to be similar, but finding what works for you, again, going back to that adherence that you can stick to. So the research is really clear. It doesn't matter high weight, low reps, low weight, high reps, as long as you're getting to that point of muscular fatigue and finding something that you can commit to in the long term. So such great points there. Tay, why don't you just talk to us a little bit more from a physiological perspective about this idea of maximizing recruitment, right? How do the muscle fibers actually work throughout the course of a set of repetitions? Why don't you kind of walk our listeners through what's actually going on from the inside as you approach and get to momentary failure?
Yeah, for sure. So when you start lifting a weight, say on overhead press, your first few repetitions, this all comes down to what's called the Henneman size principle of motor unit recruitment, where you sequentially recruit your smallest, most available muscle fibers to the largest, hardest to fatigue muscle fibers. So the first couple repetitions, you're recruiting those smaller muscles, which tend to be the type one slow twitch type fibers. As you start to fatigue those out, you move on to then recruiting the intermediate, a little bit larger muscle fibers. And towards the end of the set, and really only towards the end of the set, you can't bypass this process, is when you start to fatigue and stimulate the type two larger, most easiest fatigable muscle fibers, but the most powerful muscle fibers. And then once you get to that point of muscle failure, you've exhausted that entire sequential recruitment process and can no longer lift the weight.
Yes, and such a good job explaining that, and so important to kind of emphasize a few things here, right? This is why one set is just as good, if not more efficacious than multiple set training, because essentially, as long as you get to those higher order fibers, mission accomplished, right? Once we get to those last few reps, and the overhead press is a perfect example, because as many of our listeners and clients will know, that's one where people always talk about, man, this feels really light to start off, right? You're recruiting those type one fibers. You feel like you can go all day. And if that weight is set correctly, once you get to about reps 8, 9, 10, all of a sudden that 50, 60, 70 pounds, whatever it is that was on there, feels like a bus coming down on your shoulders, right? And that's when we know you've gotten to those higher order fibers, those hard ones to recruit. And you might be able to bust out with those heavy duty fibers just one additional rep, maybe two, depending on your fiber type. But then all of a sudden, it's like the wheels fall off and there's nothing you could do. Gun to your head, you can't get another rep. I love overhead press for that exact reason. And it's one of the first exercises that I feel like a lot of our clients really get to experience what momentary muscle failure actually is. I know you have some quite a bit of experience on the sales team as well. I'm not sure what your experience is with getting people to failure in that first session. But man, for me, 99% of the time, it's on overhead press. They go, oh, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, I do tend to start on overhead press for any new client that walks in the door for that reason, because it does something about that exercise. It's easy to see true muscle failure in that aspect. Absolutely.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to talk about before we move on to our next topic here, Tay, is just strength training to failure for caloric burn, right? When we do a strength training session to momentary muscle failure, we're getting the most out of that exercise. And what that's going to do is burn more calories, right? It allows you to train full body. And the more muscle you're training, so that's the reason why we do full body routines every time at Discover Strength. The more muscle you're utilizing, the more calories you're going to burn over the long term. And what is that going to do for clients who maybe have body composition goals?
Yes. So not only when you are training in session to muscle failure, are you going to burn more calories during that session? So burning twice as many calories as performing the same exercises and just stopping at a number. But you're also getting a great acute afterburn effect. So when you train a muscle failure, you're going to be burning 5 to 11% more calories above your resting metabolic rate after that one bout of exercise, really for 3 days after training. And again, that's from training specifically to muscle failure. And that's because you've made that tissue more metabolically active, that recovery process takes more energy. So that is incredibly impactful from a calorie burn standpoint to help us then lose fat in addition to being in a calorie deficit without any extra physical activity on top of that to try to burn extra calories. So again, extremely beneficial from that aspect.
Yeah, and the last thing I just want to drive home to our clients here is this is why we exist as a company at Discover Strength, right? Because we know, and as our clients and listeners have experienced, getting to failure is such an uncomfortable proposition, but it's so important. So we just really need to drive home the reasoning for why we exist, right? Having that supervision, having somebody there to help get the most out of you is really what's going to allow you to get all of these benefits. There was a recent paper published by James Steele out of Solon University. I believe it's titled One More Rep. And it was talking about people's ability to predict proximity to failure. And we know that they're better at it when somebody is there pushing them at the end. This is something we talked about in one of our earlier episodes, too. I believe it's episode 2 or 3 with Dr. James Steele. Definitely give that one a listen. But having somebody there, having an accountability partner, maybe somebody who's an iconic exercise physiologist who's been with Discover Strength for 9 years, that's going to allow you to get the most out of your workout. So just awesome, Tay.
I hope everyone's enjoying this episode with iconic exercise physiologist Taylor Melvin. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our CEO and president, Luke Carlson, on some ways that you can add some equipment to your virtual training to improve your own workouts, to potentially even get to things like momentary muscular failure, and ensure that you only have to do one set of an exercise.
I'm Luke Carlson, the founder of Discover Strength. Our trainers want your virtual training experience to be exceptional. The problem is, with no tools or equipment at home, you might be missing out on exercises, protocols, and challenges that would make your workout even better. So our trainers got together and selected our favorite virtual training tools. We made it easy by teaming up with Power Systems and ATIVAFIT to create a package that includes 8 of our favorite products. These 8 products will cost under $800. Be sure to use the promo code DISCOVER to receive 10% off, and they'll significantly elevate your workout experience. I just ordered this equipment package to bring up to and keep at the family cabin in Hayward so that my entire family can perform virtual workouts on every cabin trip for years to come. Go to discoverstrength.com/equipment list or click on the link in the show notes.
Thanks everyone for sticking around, and please enjoy the rest of this episode on momentary failure and one set training with Taylor Melvin.
Next thing I really want to talk about here, and again, it's another big part of what we do at Discover Strength and plays so perfectly into this idea of momentary failure, is why one set? So many of us have been exposed to this in our exercise careers at some point, 3 sets of 10. Right? We have to do 3 sets of 10 of this, and then we go over here and 3 sets of 10 of that. Where did this idea come from, and why is one set more beneficial? Talk to me about some of the reasons for it and why it's such an important part of what we do at Discover Strength.
Right. So one set, so according to what the evidence would say, is one set is just as good as 2 or 3 sets, because just like what we talked about, that same process of sequential recruitment of the muscle fibers is just starting over again anytime you do a second or third set. So we're not really tapping into new or higher threshold fibers. It's really the same stimulus, which is great news from the aspect of, again, the time efficiency. If you don't have time to exercise, you can just perform one set and be able to see the same benefits. I'm not really sure where that first started. I know when I got into learning about exercise, like in college and everything like that, it was always kind of multiple set training was really the way it was always done.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Tay. Yeah. So I actually do know the reason why it became the general practice. And this is something we also talked about in our first full episode on the Discover Strength podcast with Dr. James Fisher out of Solon University, where we discussed 5 big exercise myths and misconceptions. So this comes from a DeLorean and Watkins study back in, I believe, the 60s, maybe even the 40s or 50s, where what they actually did was they were training rehabbing veterans, right? So these were people who had served in the war, and they were doing a study on how to strength train effectively. And essentially what happened and what they later admitted was they were doing 3 sets
because the first two were essentially serving as the warm-up. So they were doing a percentage of their one rep max, making sure, because these guys were rehabbing from injuries, that the motion wasn't bothering them, right? That they could go through this full range of motion without any sort of contraindications, things that were bugging them. And then that third set was really the important one, right? So these authors later admitted that the first and second didn't really do anything. It was just the warm-up purposes, right? But when we've got healthy populations, training one time, doing one set to momentary failure is all you need to get all those benefits. So that first set produces the same results, but you get to do it in a fraction of the time, or that one set rather produces the same results. Studies have bared this out over and over again, but you get to do it in a fraction of the time. Right. So all that three set of 10, that multiple set training, that came from a single study that has just been kind of carried on and passed down from exercise physiology generation to generation, strength and conditioning coaches, for exactly that reason. Like, you went to school at St. Thomas, they never really told you where that was probably from. It was just kind of, accepted wisdom. Well, that's where it comes from. And that's why it's not necessarily necessary. Right. So what I'd love to talk to you a little bit about here is what the exceptions to the rule might be. So let's talk a little bit about what we call AOTs at Discover Strength, or advanced overload techniques. So what would be the reasons for someone to want to do an advanced overload technique when they're working with a client? Why would we potentially want to do this with someone?
Yeah, advanced overload techniques are essentially a way to try to get just a little bit more out of your muscles, right? And they can also create a more time-efficient model of training as well. But if, say, for example, a mental roadblock is occurring when it comes to training to failure, I mean, muscle failure is very uncomfortable. It can be very difficult to do. As a trainer, you can help facilitate that process for a client by, you know, providing an advanced overload technique. So that's something like an assisted rep, where you help complete a repetition and the trainee performs a negative. You can do a breakdown set where you decrease the weight when the set was stopped and then continue on to get a little more time under load, things like that.
Yeah. And again, the exception here and the big asterisk that differentiates this from multiple set training, because sometimes on the outside looking in, it might look like multiple sets, but we're actually trying to do, like you said, and again, this is the benefit of having an exercise physiologist, an expert there with you at your side, is that we have the experience to really see sometimes if somebody's given 100%, right? If they've actually achieved momentary muscle failure, or if maybe they have a little left to give. And by utilizing these sorts of techniques, we can make sure that we've recruited all of those available muscle fibers. We've made sure that you've given 1,000% of everything you have available. And as someone who's trained before, you know, we do these sorts of things to each other. It's hard, even if you're well-trained, to get to momentary muscle failure every single time. So using these techniques that minimize the rest in between the actual completed set and what you're doing afterwards is a phenomenal way to just get that last little bit of, let's call it, juice out of the squeeze of that particular exercise. Now, the important differentiator here, the thing to mention as well, is we've actually done studies at Discover Strength as part of our Project Discover, comparing the difference between just training to failure and adding in these sorts of advanced overload techniques. And the findings were nil, right? There's no difference in the long term as far as strength gains, hypertrophy. And again, the research has bared this out. That study by Schoenfeld showed some of the research regarding advanced overload techniques. But again, just in that moment, it can be helpful sometimes to at least feel like you've gotten the full benefit of going to failure. Now, the last thing I wanted to mention, again, just driving home this point of one set produces the same results, and it can get you those results to help you look and feel your best in a fraction of the time, is there's been a plethora of new studies coming out on this idea of minimum effective dose training. And I'm going to link to some of these studies for our listeners that are interested. But looking at the minimum time investment We've got Dr. Schoenfeld, Patroclus Andrulakis Korakakis, who has been a featured guest on the podcast as well. And then what's called the FIT 20 study, which was published by Dr. James Steele, again, out of Solon University. And what all of these studies are showing is this idea that you have to train 3, 4, 5, 6 days a week for 1, 2, 3 hours at a time are just not true. Right? As long as you're working with that high level of intensity, as long as you've got supervision or the ability to push yourself as far as you can, you do not need to spend a significant amount of time in the gym to get great benefits. I'd love to just have you kind of wrap us up here, maybe some take-home points for listeners, just driving home the importance of this training to one set and why it's so beneficial.
Just like what we started with, it comes down to time invested. So like a lot of those studies showing that you don't need to spend 2 hours a day, 5 days a week in the gym. In fact, you could do three sets. So a multi-joint push for your upper body, a multi-joint pull for your upper body, and then a leg pressing or squat. And you would have a total body workout right there with just one set for each. Taken a muscle failure and really did everything you need to do from a stimulus standpoint to get that result you're looking for.
So time and again, efficiency. it may not be optimal if we're doing that minimum of a dose, but again, like you said, for maintenance, for getting what you need to get done, especially in a pinch, even something as short as that can definitely be beneficial.
So while we've seen from these studies, one set is efficacious, it doesn't mean you can't train, multi-set fashion. You are absolutely within your personal preferences to train three sets to muscle failure or just a higher volume in general, or train more frequently if that's what you enjoy and are able to recover appropriately from that. But we know from what the evidence would support is that if you're in a crunch, yes, one set to muscle fatigue is extremely efficacious. In addition to that, when you are training, it is valuable to train to momentary muscle failure and not just stop at a number, because if you stop at a number, you're missing out on a ton of valuable muscle fiber recruitment that only happens when you're getting to that point of momentary failure and creating a very good stimulus for your musculature. So training hard and training quick are the two main points.
But not moving quick. Let's make that clear point there. Yep. Quick. So as Arthur Jones said a long time ago, hard, brief, infrequent. That's the main takeaways from today. Tay, thank you so much for joining us today. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. We hope you're enjoying this mini series that we're doing for the Discover Strength podcast. And I'm excited to bring you more episodes with some of our brilliant trainers in the future. Everyone, have a wonderful day. Please like and subscribe. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Thanks, Tay. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope you continue to tune in to catch up on the most important information in the field of evidence-based exercise. If you love the Discover Strength podcast, we'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to reach out to me at logan@discoverstrength.com for comments or guest ideas. Please also like and subscribe on all your favorite podcasting platforms. Help us spread the word of smart, efficient training, and we'll continue to help you look and feel your best in a fraction of the time.